I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth, stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ, I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Terry and Jesse show, too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed, and hope was money, we'd be millionaires. I am on duty reporting for duty. Terry, what about you?
I'm on duty, Jess. Man, I'm excited because we get to do the gospel each day. We get to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Today's an interesting show, Jess. We're going to answer a question that a lot of people have been asking, and I'll bring that up a little later in the show. Also, trans, are you ready for this? Militant comes to the University of Dallas through a professor. What's that about? And here's something that blew me away. I'm friends with Ignatius Press and Catholic World Report. Their Twitter account was frozen because of reporting about transgenderism. This is ridiculous. Wait till you hear what happened there. Also, this is just follow the money, Jess. We want to ask, our U.S. bishops are wanting federal money and lots of it, and they're getting it. And also, they're getting it through the PPP. The government is amassing billions of dollars to the Catholic Church. And I just think that we need to have full disclosure where that money's coming from and much, much more. But before we do any of those topics, the number one topic that Terry and Jesse have every day is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. So, Jesse,
right.
Give me some soul food, brother.
Gospel of Mark,
yep, it's a
chapter
short one.
6,
yep.
Verses 53 to 56.
Yep.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. After making the crossing to the other side of the sea, Jesus and his disciples came to land at Gennesaret and tied up there. That means they tied up their boat. As they were leaving the boat, people immediately recognized him. They scurried about the surrounding country and began to bring in the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. Whatever villages or towns or countryside he entered, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak. And as many as touched it were healed. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Here's what this short gospel reading for today, here's something that jumps out at me that I think it's worthy to share. Notice that they want to tie the tassel that in his cloak that Jesus is wearing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fringe. That's the bottom fringe of the garment. And this it reminds me, when you look at the Old Testament, back in the book of Numbers chapter 15, Moses had instructed the Israelites that these were in the Old Testament, specifically the Levites, to wear tassels on their clothing. And what was it for? It was a visible reminder to keep God's commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And so now in the New Testament, Jesus is our high priest. It's interesting that Jesus, the high priest, of course, the Jews don't recognize him as the high priest, but we know that he's our high priest because that's what the book of Hebrews calls him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that he also wears tassels on his garment, just like the high priest did in the Old Testament and the Levites did as well. Why? Jesus is letting everybody know that he's the new high priest of the New Testament. And also, something that our Lord does here, which is very, again, we as Catholics have picked up on this, is that our Lord uses matter. For example, you know, he'll use like his spit back in, you know, in Mark chapter 8, verse 23. He'll use clay from the ground, his clothing. He'll use water. He'll use matter as channels of healing power. And this way, what's Jesus doing with all this? Why is he using matter to confer grace and to heal people and bless people? Why? He's preparing the way for the seven sacraments of the new covenant, the seven sacraments of the church, which are going to bring healing to not only the body, but more specifically to the soul. And so this matter, the tassels that he's wearing, these are visible instruments of grace that Jesus Christ will bring in their fullness through the church, through the seven sacraments that Christ has established. Terry?
Well said, Jesse. Let's bring the smartest guy into the room now, Bishop Sheen, on a locomotive, if we can. It's Monday, so it might be running a little slow. Full steam ahead. Here's what he says about persecution, okay? Bishop Sheen says, one great and mysterious fact that it is not generally known to the world is that whenever there is persecution on the account of the faith, it always results in a vast catch of souls for the kingdom of God. Tertullian was right when he said the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. Well, we got persecution going on. Jesse, I know you answer a lot of questions. My wife answers a lot of questions. People call me on my cell phone with questions. This is a question I've been asked many times. And if people want to call in on our show, our call-in number is 888-526-2151. But here's the question. Terry, Jesse, and Jess, I want you to also add on to that. But the question I get is, this Father James Martin seems to, you know, he do everything he wants. He's out there preaching. He's on papal committees, you know, by the Pope. And he's a heretic. And the guy's promoting homosexuality. He says things like he doesn't agree with the Bible of St. Paul when it comes to homosexuality. Why is it that he gets to go out and do all this and there's nothing, no, nothing done to him? And then my good priest, who's Orthodox, he says something about abortion and he gets reprimanded saying, hey, stop it. So I said, well, here's what I see after 42 years of being involved in the church. I see weak leadership. I'm sorry, Jess, but that's how I see it. They have not taken an account. They put people on committees that they shouldn't be on, secular people in Rome. Like, why are we going to that? So we pray for our leaders in the church, the Pope, the bishops, and the priests. Every Thursday here at our chapel, I get down and I make for 2 hours of prayer. Why? Because I do see a lack of leadership in the Catholic Church. I do see liberals, which I call heretics, who are openly promoting things that are contrary to the eternal teachings of the church, being let go. They're doing what they're doing. So my answer to that is, let's pray for our leaders from the top to the bottom that they will make good decisions, because right now the foxes are in charge of the hen house. That's my answer, Jess.
Terry, you sounded like you're underwater the whole time. I'm probably sound like I'm underwater as well. So
yeah, I don't see it. It does sound a little weird. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got Big Brother, Big Tech, not very happy of some of the comments that we're making, because you sounded completely underwater.
Oh, okay. Because I don't hear myself and I don't hear you that well. We'll see what Mr. Engineer can do.
I sound completely underwater as well. So I'm going to call up Richard. I'm going to go on the landline. Do I sound okay, or am I underwater?
You're okay, but you still sound a little weak. Let's get through the first segment. Jess, I know you get questions all the time about, you know, issues in the church. But we've covered these things, and we just have to keep people with their faith focused on Jesus Christ and not get distracted by what I call heretics, or we call them dissenters, people who dissent from the teachings of the church. I personally love them to death with the truth, but I wish leadership would take them out. That's all I'm asking. Take these guys out.
You sound good now. What I did is I unplugged the Comrex and I replugged.
Okay.
You sound perfect.
Go ahead, Jess.
My commentary on why the reason Father James Martin is untouchable, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
And we're going to go through later on in the show. The Democrat Party gives tons of money, Terry, to the U.S. bishops. The Democrat Party pushes the whole transgender, LGBT, homosexual, lesbian agenda. And this is part of communism. The Communist Manifesto says that we've got to, they have to insert the whole homosexual LGBT agenda into Western civilization. That's how they can collapse a country like the U.S. and other Western countries. And so they've got the perfect poster boy. They have a highly educated Catholic priest who's a pro-homosexual, if not a homosexual himself, though he never admits it. He has the highest approbations from the church. And so they're using him as their water boy to promote this dissent and confusion and diabolical disorientation in the Catholic Church.
Chad.
And I have no doubt that the Democrat overlords right now are saying to the U.S. bishops, if you even dare to censor Father James Martin, we will make sure that we will cut off all the aid to your Catholic Relief Services and to all your social justice programs. So I have no doubt, Terry, that Father Martin's, the fact that he runs roughshod and says anything he wants, he is tied into the financial gain that the bishops are receiving from the U.S. government.
And Jess, that's why I ask everybody to make reparation. Remember Our Lady said souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray. Maybe there are bishops and priests and, you know, officials in the church just haven't had enough of our prayers to convert them, because many of them are giving us the teachings of themselves rather than what the church is teaching, the perennial teaching. So I want to pray, don't leave the church because of some Judases. And that's all I call them. They're Judases. When they don't go along with what the church has taught for the perennial teachings, they're leaving the church.
I'll tell you why. That's simple for me. I'll tell you. And I don't use the phrase, don't leave Peter because of Judas. Yeah. I don't use that phrase. Mm-hmm. Don't leave Jesus because of Judas. Okay?
Right.
Our faith is not in any pope or a bishop. Our faith is in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our King. He's everything. Catholicism is all about Jesus Christ. As Fulton Sheen says, Catholicism is Christ. And so don't let anybody have you commit spiritual suicide.
That's right.
by their modernist, dissenting, progressive views and teachings. Don't ever throw your salvation away for somebody who's an apostate or a progressive or a liberal in the church.
Yep.
They too will be gone one day.
You got to have that biblical worldview. That's what we try to teach here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We always like to say we're too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, Jess and I would be billionaires. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Remember, the month of February is devoted to the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So sometime during the month of February, go to your church and do a Stations of the Cross. And most of you have a Stations of the Cross. You can find that on the internet if you don't have the actual book. Or here's what I'm doing the entire month of February. This is day 8 of the... I'm praying the Seven Sorrows of Mary every morning as my morning prayers. Sometimes it's called the Dolorosary. Or you can pray the Sorrowful Mysteries of the Rosary all month. Again, the fastest way to becoming holy, according to all the saints, is to focus on the suffering and passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Terry, we got news from the University of Dallas. It's a Catholic university, and they have a reputation for fidelity to the magisterium.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And they still do. I talk to people that go. They say they still have an Orthodox bent. Mm-hmm. They still have. It's a good place to send your kids. But one of their top professors is being attacked for having expressed his views on transgenderism on his private Facebook
Can't
page.
Can't do that today.
Yep. So the letter was sent. The letter's out there on the internet. You can look at the article. It's on vmp.org or jesseromero.com. It's called Trans Militant Comes for UD Professor. So the letter's there. Basically, one of the alumni that graduated from there back in the 80s and is now identifies as a female wrote a letter to the president of UD, and it's a long letter basically saying that how can you allow a professor like this to be teaching at a Catholic university where he's, you know, and all this professor's doing is speaking accurately about the false science and again this just the delusion of the whole transgender movement. And so this professor, it looks like they're trying to fire him, or at least this letter that's posted is an attempt to fire a good Catholic professor because he does not subscribe to this transgender confusion. He does not subscribe to transgenders being born that way. And he doesn't subscribe to the ideology of the transgender, which has no science behind it and has no obviously no truth behind it. Terry?
Well, Jess, all I can say is these are the days we're living in now where there's so much confusion in the culture that, you know, they don't want to be, they just can't speak what objectively is true anymore. I mean, we can't even say 2 + 2 = 4 to these people, because in their mind, everything is what I feel. And that's the problem. And so I want to commend the professor for speaking the truth in charity. He's just telling it like it is. And here's the thing. I hope and pray the management at the university says, hey, I back him. You know, I'll just bring up your name, for example. I've had people from Dr. Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, who worked for me. And I had complaints. And I had a pastor complain about Jess Romero. And Jess knows about this. This was like probably 10 years ago. And I just said to them, well, you're complaining. Yeah, he's like loud and he ridicules things. Yeah, big mouth and all that. I said, yeah, what did he say that's wrong, Father? Where did he deviate from the church teachings? No, he didn't. I said, well, then.
Crickets.
Yeah.
Crickets.
See, right. But the point of it is, I was the management. They came to me. I'm hoping the university does exactly what I did and backs the professor and says, this is true. What he's saying on the other side is false. End of story. That's all.
And if it was the liberal Catholic university, he'd be fired.
He would be.
But he stands a chance to hold his job because, again, UD, University of Dallas, still maintains a semblance of orthodoxy, I've been told. Terry, even on this issue of transgender, Pope Francis has spoken out against it 3 times.
That's true.
So to give him credit,
he
said, if here's one of the times he spoke out in Naples, Italy, to young people, he says, quote, gender theory is an error of the human mind that leads to so much confusion. Pope Benedict, he also condemned gender theory. He called it a profound falsehood that denies male and female sex as a given element of nature. And so, Terry, the science is not on their side.
No, it isn't.
They're delusional. It's a delusion. And in fact, there's even a doctor. He was the top psychiatrist in chief, Dr. Paul McHugh, for John Hopkins Hospital. The top psychiatrist, Terry, he said, a person changing the sex he or she was born with is biologically impossible. Dr. Paul McHugh, he went on to declare that the LGBT advocates who encourage gender-confused individuals to have sex reassignment surgery are guiding them down the path to suffer from mental illness and quite possibly suicide. He says 30 years of research does not lie. Terry, science is on our side. Theology is on our side, and truth is on our side.
And logic also, Jesse. Someone told me just this morning at the Super Bowl advertisements, usually we cover all the immoral TV advertisements on the Super Bowl, but they said that some guy got up there as a musician. He says, I want to defy logic. Throw out logic. It's what I want it to be. You see, this is what our culture is all about. You didn't know, Jesse, that I'm 7'4", not 5'4". Yes, I am, Jesse, because I said it. And people would laugh at me and say, Terry, you're not. But you know, there's a segment in our culture that would say, that's okay, you must be 7'4", that's fine. See, let's don't live in la-la land. Let's live in reality, because what's happening is these people are being sold a bill of goods. And I feel sad for those people. You know what, Jesse? Look at the suicide rates for transgenderism. Way up there, brother.
Oh, wow.
We're doing them the service to get them feet back on the ground and live in reality rather than la-la land. So out of charity, let's call them back.
Terry, the Bible warns us in 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, many deceivers have gone out into the world. Yeah. Think about that for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
Many deceivers have gone out into the world. Mm. What does the word deceive mean? The dictionary says to mislead by false statements. Mm. Anybody who's promoting this transgender as scientific and normal is a deceiver. And we know, Terry, that the ultimate deceiver is Satan.
Yep.
That's what he's called in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. He is the deceiver, but there's also many deceivers with a small d that work for him. And many of these deceivers, Terry, are promoting the LGBT confusion. which goes back to what Sister Lucia told us. The final attack of Satan upon the world will be against marriage and family.
And Jess, I would just say this, that we need to make a stand here and not just say, oh, well, what if it feels good, do it. You know, who am I to judge? Jesse, here am I. I'm trying to help people get to heaven. I'm trying to show people the meaning and purpose of life. And they're going to say that I'm going to be a man, but I'm really a woman, or vice versa. And I'm going to say, oh, it's okay, Junior, or Mary. We'll call you Mary now. No, that's just not true. And see, truth matters. But in our culture right now, truth is like moral relativism. My truth, and you have your truth. No, we have what Jesus Christ revealed to us. And see, we have to proclaim that to a world now that acts like God doesn't exist.
I think that's the greatest weapon of Satan right now, because our weapon is truth.
Yes.
Our Lord Jesus Christ says in John 8:32, the truth will set you free.
Man.
He says, consecrate yourself in truth. My word is truth. The devil's counterpart to that is there is no truth.
Yep.
Everybody comes up with their own truth. Everybody's truth, works for them, and it's not universal. That's the satanic attack upon our culture, Terry. And it continues because Catholic Joe Biden.
In name.
Yes. He just assigned somebody to run one of the head departments in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Is the person's name is Dr. Rachel Levine.
Yes.
He's a man who thinks he's a woman. And I'll tell you, Catholic World Report, their account was suspended by Twitter because they put out a news story basically stating some facts. It says Twitter claims CWR has violated the rules against hateful speech, but refuses to give an explanation. The Catholic World Report Twitter account has been unlocked. The tweet in question remains in the Catholic World Report Twitter feed, and Twitter has not of yet, as of this writing, communicated with CWR about this change in course. Terry, they put something very simple.
Here's read the tweet and then ask yourself, what was hateful? Read this tweet, Jess.
The tweet that they put out was, the tweet in question is this.
Yeah.
Biden plans to nominate Dr. Rachel Levine,
information,
a biological man, mm-hmm. identifying as a transgender woman who has served as Pennsylvania's health secretary since 2017, to be HHS Assistant Secretary for Health. Levine is also a supporter of the contraceptive mandate, close quote. That was a tweet that was put out by CWR's managing editor, David Kilby. And for this reason, their account was suspended by Twitter, Terry.
And I want to understand what's hateful or bigoted language in that tweet. Can you explain that? Dissect that. Tell me. Now, they went and
it's
protested.
Pure information.
Yeah,
it's pure information.
It's pure information, but it shows you how bigoted they are, that we can't even say this information without being taken off Twitter. And Catholic World Report, which is operated by Ignatius Press, Father Joe Fessio, great Jesuit, he's just saying, wait a minute, show me where we're wrong. And of course, what's their response? Their response is this, that you've prompted violence? Really? Threatens to harass people on the basis of race, ethnicity, national origin, sexual orientation, gender? What? Where in that tweet is that? Man, you know what, Jesse? We're living in la-la land, dude. Something's gone wrong with our mind, because to point that out, that's the agenda to try and get rid of anything Christian who's going to call things for what they are. They just are going to do whatever they can to stop us, and we have to push back, Jess.
I used to think that the book 1984 by Wells. I used to think that was, man, this will never happen. This is crazy. Yeah. I had to read it back in college 30 years ago. Okay. And I'm like saying why'd they even assign this book? This is stupid. Well, guess what? The government became totalitarian. They had a department called the Ministry of Truth. The government's job was to revise history. They had people that worked 24 hours a day to revise history in computers. They also censored speech, and they also censored thoughts. I read that 30 some odd years ago, and I said, what a goofy book. Why'd I have to read this? This is dumb. Well, guess what? Everything that book says, 1984, that was written, by the way, in the 40s.
Yeah.
is happening right now in the United States of America. This is the infiltration of communism through the Democrat Party. And Catholic World Report is just another victim of this assault.
You got it. Hey, when we come back, I hate to say this, really, Jesse. More bad news in regards to our leaders in our church. We need to be praying for these guys every day. We've got our great bishop, Joseph Strickland, on every Tuesday. He's not in that bench. But the U.S. bishops want federal money and lots of it. And we're going to tell you how they're getting it. And I think there's a compromise here. We'll tell you about that when we come back on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
To the Terry and Jesse Show. I don't hear Jesse right now, so I want to introduce our next topic. First of all, we got this article from The Wanderer. It's one of the oldest Catholic newspapers in America. Mr. Engineer, I don't think I got Jesse going.
Testing. Terry,
oh, now I hear you, Jess. Go ahead and tell us about, this is an article from the Catholic newspaper, The Wanderer. I would encourage everybody to subscribe to The Wanderer. It's a very good Orthodox newspaper. It takes a Bishop Strickland has a column every single week in that paper. But let's talk about the article, U.S. Bishops Want Federal Money and Lots of It.
Lots of it.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says they're afraid that president, this is when this is written about 2 years ago, mm-hmm. when President Trump was the president.
Yeah.
They didn't like Trump, Terry, because they were afraid that he was going to shut their water spigot off from U.S. aid, which is the most pro-abortion, pro-population control agency in Washington. And Obama, under the Obama administration, he gave the USAID billions of dollars.
Yep.
Okay, the USAID, this is a, and we also see, Terry, in this article, again, it's just painful
to
talk about this. But the fact is, the money verse is right here, is U.S. foreign aid. Here's what it says. Whatever term President Trump used to describe these countries, it says Mr. Callahan brings the picture vividly to life. But like the bishops, his goal is not to make America great again. It is to preserve and enlarge the federal funding that Catholic Relief Services receives through contracts with, here it is, the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID. Mm-hmm. Which happens to be the most pro-abortion, pro-population control agency in Washington, as well as Catholic Relief Services paymaster. But Mr. Callahan does not stress that reality. Instead, he focuses on action. He says people can pray, they can call their congressman, he says, urging them to keep funding AID and CRS. And Terry, CRS, Catholic Relief Services, is no different from thousands of other organizations that are feeding at the federal trough. And each of these agencies, Terry, here's what they say. They say, oh, we're doing good work. We need more money. We need more money. We're doing good work.
Yeah.
These are the leftists within the Catholic Church. They keep on shouting, we're essential. Our organizational CRS, it's essential. Give us more money. We're essential. But guess what they call non-essential, Terry? The holy sacrifice of the Mass.
Yeah, very sad. Jesse, also, Cardinal Dolan also used the unlovingly occasion to criticize President Trump back then. And there lies the contradiction, which he and Trump and other clerical critics have never answered. Your Excellency, when did you ever, ever, ever criticize Obama with such vigor or scorn and such contempt? And Jesse, this is what I get frustrated with, is people say, oh, let's don't get political. No, our shepherds need to give us direction regarding these politicians who are leading this country down a bad road. If they don't speak up, it's silence, and we can't have that. So why is Cardinal Dolan so hard on Trump, but he wouldn't be hard on Obama? That's the real question. And I think Cardinal Dolan is like a lot of bishops. They don't want to get the President Obama upset at them because he might turn the funding off. So this is scandalous.
That's right.
It's just scandalous, Jess.
Terry, and Obama, objectively speaking, now Biden, they're two of the most radical pro-abortion presidents in history.
That's right.
Both of them have shoved the perverted LGBT manifesto down the throats of American people, workplaces, the military, and of course, the government bureaucracy. Both Obama and Biden champion sodomy and destruction of marriage, and both of them fan the flames of race and class warfare. And that's why, again, it just, I scratch my head when I see a lot of these bishops, Wensky, O'Malley, and Dolan, they never condemn Obama or Biden.
No.
And quite the contrary, in fact, you know, speaking as the president of the USCCB back in 2013, Cardinal Dolan, he complained on Meet the Press that Obamacare did not cover illegal aliens.
Right, or immigrants.
Nor did it protect the unborn. And he went and recounted what he had told Obama. He said, Dolan says, I told the president, Mr. President, please, you're really kind of pushing aside some of your greatest supporters here. We want to be with you.
Oh, no.
We want to be strong. And if you keep doing this, we're not going to be able to be one of your cheerleaders. So Dolan was basically telling Obama, you've got to cover illegal aliens in Obamacare, or we're not going to be, the U.S. bishops, we're not going to be your cheerleaders anymore. Just think about that for a second. Let that sink in for a second. Obama's an apostle of King Herod. Trump was a champion of the unborn.
Yep.
Yet, when has any USCCB leader ever called the bishops, quote, some of President Trump's greatest supporters? Never.
Not one.
Or when have you heard one of the bishops, you know, when have they cheered President Trump's efforts on behalf of the unborn and religious freedom? They're quiet about it. They were quiet for 4 years. Meanwhile, the USCCB, the lobbyists, they huddle with their allies and their pro-abortion party in Congress in pursuit of legislation that will confer amnesty on millions of illegal aliens. Now, I mean, Terry, me, we can't read people's hearts, the bishops, but from the evidence, it appears that our bishops want to be their cheerleaders as well. And I'll tell you, here's the big problem, Terry, is these lobbyists. The lobbyists are, they're people that work for a company or an organization, you know, to outside stakeholders, for example, and they go and advocate for a particular issue that's going to benefit their company or their organization, and they advocate to like government agencies or legislative bodies or trade associations. And so the lobbyist's primary responsibility is to try to advocate a position, a deal for their company or their organization. And this is the problem, is all these lobbyists and special interest groups that they don't care about the citizens' interests. They care about their company or their organization. You know, just give an example, just to throw something out there. You know, somebody from Raytheon who makes missiles and bombs will go to a particular party or a politician and say, you know what, we production's kind of down. We need more jobs, and we need a new contract with you guys. Who knows? Maybe, I don't know, maybe you can get us in another little war here in the Middle East or something, so we can fire up the engines. Those are lobbyists that work for their special interest for their companies, and with the politicians in Washington. And Terry, the USCCB has their lobbyists as well.
And Jesse, I have to add this, because every Lent is coming up. Catholic Relief Services makes a pitch for people to support them. Don't give them a penny. Because I'll tell you, Jess, we did a show a year ago or two when they demonstrated how they're supporting contraception and abortion in these countries that they're supposedly helping people. It's a they're a big phony group, Jesse. I'm sorry, but they've been around for a long time. But we exposed them. And truth, I say repent and turn away from that and go to the gospel. They have a name called Catholic Relief Services, and they're doing things that are secular and undermining our Catholic teachings. And so don't give money to Catholic institutions who don't teach Catholic teachings. That's all.
That's right. And our beloved shepherds, Terry, you know, our bishops, when when they talk to Congress, they're wearing the hat of the pandering panhandler.
Oh, yeah.
What do I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
When our bishops talk to Congress, they want federal money and they want lots of it. And when President Trump, when he was president, you know, he talked about countless countries in the world are dangerous, mm-hmm, and disease ridden and crime ridden and war torn disaster areas,
yep,
that are impoverished by government tyranny and corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And just plain, I mean, these were not good places to live. Okay. But, you know, when I look at, for example, Archbishop Wenske or Dolan or O'Malley, these are some of the leaders of the Catholic Conference. You know, they're at the head of lobbyists using these countries to solicit more taxpayer funding for Catholic welfare agencies in the U.S. and abroad, because they say, oh, we've got to help out Mexico and Peru and,
right,
and Kenya. Please, you know, federal government, you know, Congress, we need more money to help through Catholic Relief Services. Terry, so these agencies in the Catholic Church are receiving billions of dollars, and it started, Terry, during the Obama years,
yep,
to care for foreign aliens, immigrants, and refugees in the U.S. and in other impoverished, corrupt countries as well.
Yep.
And Terry, again, that they play the violin to Congress and say, we're the bishops, and we just want to help people. We need more money, more money. And Terry, once again, as St. Paul says, the love of money is the root of all evil, and we see the way some of these princes of the church live, Terry. They live like mob bosses in castles.
Yeah, Jess, we have a real problem with that, obviously. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the Catholic Church is amassing billions from the government, despite having billions of their own money with this shutdown. We have to expose it for what it is. We can't hide behind it, because it's the truth that sets us free. Also, I want to remind people, they're still getting those Spiritual Warfare Conference recordings on our website. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Great one-day conference we had. You'll want to hear it, and you can do that through Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Also, I want to thank all the people, especially those who have been supporting us monthly. We're growing. We just got another, you know, many hundreds more people on YouTube because of your support. If you're listening to us on YouTube, please like us and then hit the bell, because that's how we get more people to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We come back, we'll talk more on the Virgin Most Powerful's radio station, Terry and Jesse Show. We appreciate everything you've done for us, and we want to give you Jesus. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
St. Paul says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of stress, for men will become lovers of self, lovers of money. Did you catch that?
Yep.
Last days and times, men will become lovers of self and lovers of money. And St. Paul also says that in the last days and times, men will become lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding the form of religion, but denying the power of it. Close quote. In other words, there will be people before Christ comes back that they will act like they're Catholic. They look Catholic.
Yeah.
They dress Catholic. But they deny the power of God, the sacraments, and the power of the Catholic Church. Why? Because they've become in love with themselves and become in love with money. That's what this last article here is essentially saying. The Catholic Church has amassed billions of dollars in PPP aid, despite having billions of dollars of their own money in their own banks. It's reported that the Catholic churches and the related institutions amassed at least $1.5 billion in funding for the government's Paycheck Protection Program, PPP, while sitting on billions of dollars of their own money, according to the Associated Press investigation. And they're leftists, so if they're going to put this out, they did the homework, because they would basically defend something like this. If they put it out, trust me, this is accurate. The Paycheck Protection Program was designed for small businesses, including faith-based organizations, nonprofits, to keep their workers on payroll during this pandemic that's ravaged the economy. And it's supposed to keep the employees on payroll for 8 weeks, and the money is supposed to be used for payroll, rent, mortgage, interest, or utilities. But you have, again, the USCCB and all the dioceses around the country, and many Catholic churches and their institutions, they've enjoyed some of the highest approval for government funds during the pandemic, received taxpayer aid despite not experiencing financial hardships. In fact, here's the money paragraph right here. While collecting at least $1.5 billion in government funds through the program, the investigation showed that Catholic churches and their related institutions were sitting on more than $10 billion of their own funds. And instead of taking hits to their coffers, as many small businesses were forced to do amid the pandemic, many saw their wealth increase. The Associated Press analysis shows that overall, the nation's nearly 200 dioceses, where bishops and cardinals govern, and other Catholic institutions received at least $3 billion, making them perhaps the largest beneficiary of PPP funds. So here's my commentary.
Yep.
So our bishops, and I have no doubt that a part of receiving this $3 billion by the federal government, they said, close down the mass. So our bishops collectively closed down the holy sacrifice of the mass in the entire country for what? For $3 billion. This, my friends, is a precursor of what the Antichrist will do when he comes on the world scene. He will close the holy sacrifice of the mass because he has to stop sanctifying grace from flowing through the cosmos. This was just a dress rehearsal of the final assault on the church that will happen under the Antichrist.
I also want to say in this article, this was set up for companies with 500 applications with more than 500 workers. Now, the Trump administration gave an exemption so that the Catholic churches would be able to get all this. Now, the point of it is that's a lot of money. But here's the kicker, Jess. In the article, it talks about some of the Protestant churches, you know, they're saying that we're not getting any money on this. Why haven't we been able to get some money? So there seems to be some, if you're friends, in other words, whenever there's money being given out, it's not so much who you are, it's who you know. Because who you know is how you get the money. And so for whatever reason, the Catholic Churches was one of the biggest recipients of all that PP money. So how is that? I don't know. But Jess, we've got a lady, Peggy, in Riverside, has been on hold for a while. Let's see if we can get her in before the show ends. Peggy, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. You're on. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I just want to say that sure. You talked to me one day. I'm an older person, mm-hmm. and I have researched the bishop since early times.
Okay.
And Cardinal Dolan is one of the bishops that was brought in by Bella Dodd, who was working for the Communist Party at the time.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know what? Also, I think you should know that our history has been altered by The Guardian, which is a newspaper in England. And it started in 1885, but if you look it up, they're going to give you different information now because The Guardian has changed so much of our history. And it wasn't just Cardinal Dolan, but all the bishops in California that I've researched have come in as anti-Catholic people. And if you read the motto on McElroy, who is a San Diego bishop, it says dictatum humani, which means all power over humans, or, you know, or dictating to humans.
Wow.
Yeah, you should check these guys out, although they've been known from time to time to change things because they all came from the San Antonio Diocese, which the Marian Fathers commented to me that everybody knew that was a hotbed of trouble.
Yeah.
I've been researching this for years, and I think that you
makes sense to me.
Know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I know some of that stuff's already been verified, Bella Dodd and all the communist infiltration. So I'm tracking with you in a lot of things right there.
Yeah. Peggy, hey, keep it up. And maybe you should write a book, Peggy, all the research you've done. All right?
I know. If I had my full eyesight, I would do that.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you calling. Tell your friends about Virgin Most Powerful. Thank you so much for your call. And Jesse, you know, it seems to me that a lot of our listeners are researching. I mean, I get people who call me all the time who say, hey, I've been researching this. I want that. I mean, I'm just blown away by the knowledge of our listeners.
Yeah, we got a very intelligent audience. That's what we have to stay on our toes, because we have to put out accurate information because they're on top of it. Terry, another thing that the article here says, and one of the reasons the Catholic Church operations was able to collect so much money from the program was through special treatment. After Congress allowed nonprofits and religious organizations to participate in the PPP, Catholic officials further lobbied the Trump administration to be exempted from the affiliation rule that disqualifies applicants with more than 500 workers.
Yep.
Without that break, many dioceses would have missed out because between their head offices, parishes, schools, and other affiliates, their employee count would exceed the limit of 500. And finally, the last thing here that I think is of interest, it says, the Reverend James Connell, an accountant for 15 years before joining the priesthood and becoming an administrator in the Milwaukee Archdiocese, who's also a retired canon lawyer, said the AP's findings show that the Catholic entities did not need government funding, particularly when thousands of small businesses were forced to close. Was it want or need? He asked. Need must be present, not simply the want. Justice and love of neighbor must include the common good. One pastor in a Western state told the AP that even though diocesan officials repeatedly pressed him to apply for the funds, he refused. One high-ranking official even questioned why he was leaving free money on the table. But the pastor who spoke on condition of anonymity. I hate that word, anonymity, said he felt a sound moral conviction that the money was meant more for shops and restaurants that without it might close forever. Mm-hmm. The pastor says we didn't need it and intentionally wanted to leave money for those small businesses owners who did. So there's a Catholic pastor who has some integrity. But Terry, this all goes to the infiltration of the modernists in the Catholic Church. And let's just be honest, there's a lot of people in our church in high places that are in the grips of evil men. They're hopelessly in the grips of many evil men because they've been bought by dark money.
Well, what can we do about that? We can get down on our knees. We can pray, make reparation. We can live holy lives, live in the state of grace. Why? Because we want to get to heaven. And I want to bring as many of those bishops and leaders in our church, every single one of them. James Martin, I want to see you in heaven. I have no animosity towards him, Jess. I have to admit my lower nature sometimes gets a little of me. Sometimes I admit that. But the point of it is these guys have souls to save, and we need to be praying for them. That's why I continue to remind everybody the five stones of David, King David, prayer, right? We got to get to confession. We got to read our Bible. We want to pray the rosary. We want to make visits to the Blessed Sacrament. We want to make sacrifices, little sacrifices for the salvation of souls. The little children of Fatima taught us so much how to live right now. Our daily duty, do our daily duty heroically. And you don't have to be discontent about all this. Don't let it get you upset. Just be a saint. What else is there?
That's right. And the catechism tells us what we should be doing in times like this. It says, By canonizing some of the faithful, that is by solemnly proclaiming that they practice heroic virtue. Yeah. That's what we're called to practice heroic virtue. The saints lived in fidelity to God's grace. So what I'm asking you, live in fidelity to God's grace, practice heroic virtue. The church recognizes the power of the spirit of holiness within her and sustains the hope of believers by proposing the saints to them as models and intercessors. Ah, let the saints be our models. And it says, the saints have always been the source and origin of renewal in the most difficult times of the church. Be a saint. Again, that's how we're going to change the church. One at a time. Terry.
Hey, thanks again, Jess. And up next, Dr. Ed Mazza, The Bar of History. Hope you're going to enjoy that. You want to go to our website to pick up our app. It's a free app. If you're listening on a station and you want to hear all of our shows, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. And you can hear Bishop Strickland tomorrow, every Tuesday. We've got quite a few other shows that I think people would like. If you're on YouTube, please like us. Hit the bell. Get the word out. Jess Romero, final question. What state should we be living in, brother?
It's only the only thing that matters is the interiority, the state of your soul. Live in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. If you're in mortal sin, run to confession as soon as possible.
Again, up next on Virgin Most Powerful, The Bar of History, we want to thank everybody who's been supporting us. This is our third year on the air with Virgin. Thanks so much. God bless you. And just-